Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Within the last 48 hours, we have seen large earthquakes going off like firecrackers all along the Ring of Fire. As we are going to look at the multitude, listen to this, a magnitude 6.1 quake just hit Japan. A magnitude 6.6 quake just hit Australia, and a magnitude 7.3 earthquake just hit Indonesia. And of course, all of this comes just about a week after Southern California was hit by the two largest earthquakes that is experienced in more than two decades. So is all of this shaking unusual? Well, just a few moments ago, I pulled up the most recent data from Earthquake Track. And what I discovered is more than just a little bit alarming. Looking at the entire globe, we have averaged 193 earthquakes of magnitude 1.5 or greater per day so far in 2019. That is very high, but it pales in comparison to what we have witnessed over the last week. Within the last 7 days, our planet has experienced an average of more than 677 earthquakes of magnitude 1.5 or greater per day. 677 quakes per day. That means that the number of global earthquakes right now is more than three times above normal. And the number of very large earthquakes is at a frighteningly high level as well. According to the USGS, there have been 121 earthquakes of at least magnitude 4.5 around the world within the last 7 days. And that includes the magnitude 6.1 earthquake that just hit Japan. Incredibly, that quake in Japan brought the number of global earthquakes of magnitude 6.0 or greater that we have seen so far this year up to a grand total of 84. The following comes from the Big Wobble. Last night's quake brings the total of major quakes, magnitude 6 plus, to 84. Incredibly, all but seven of them striking the Pacific Ring of Fire. So the last 38 major quakes this year, going back to the 3rd of May, have occurred along the Pacific Rim of Fire. But on Sunday, yesterday, we had to add two more to the total. So the first actually tied the record for the largest earthquake that Western Australia has ever seen. The equal largest earthquake recorded in Australia has hit off the Kimberley coast, shaking items off shelves and stunning local residents who had never felt a tremor before. Can't wait for Wednesday to talk to Brother Daniel Seckham, who is in Australia, and we want to get his perspective on these things. Now, the 6.6 magnitude undersea quake of an Australia struck at 3:39 p.m. on Sunday between Port Hedland and Broome, Geoscience Australia reported. 6.6 in Australia. Amazing. You know what I think is amazing is that it seems like 100 years ago that we were watching a Dodger baseball game last Sunday night and the stadium shook and that massive quake went on. That was just 7 days ago. And this weekend, that was last weekend, this weekend they had this massive flooding from Hurricane Barry and Tropical Storm Barry that's still provoking all kinds of flooding going on. And what are we going to get next week, right? So the second, listen to this, the second was even larger when a magnitude 7.3 earthquake hit Indonesia yesterday. And it sparked tsunami fears and made headlines all over the globe. A terrifying, this is what the article said, 7.3 magnitude earthquake had sparked panic after it rocked the remote Maluku Islands in eastern Indonesia today. Those poor people get hit all the time, right? Well, scared residents were seen fleeing through the streets and heading for high ground, though no tsunami warning was issued after the land-based quake struck. None of this is normal. As we keep warning, we have entered a time of tremendous global instability, and the U.S. is certainly not going to be exempt. In fact, we just witnessed a magnitude 4.0 earthquake in Montana. So the following comes from Ricky Scaparo. He said, according to reports from the USGS, a 4.0 earthquake has rattled Manhattan, Montana. The earthquake follows the string of quakes that have rattled the globe over the past few weeks, producing powerful earthquakes in Southern California and rattling Seattle, Washington. We will give you more information as we get it. So the magnitude 4.6 earthquake in Seattle that he mentioned definitely got a lot of attention when it struck very early on Friday morning. So what's going on with all the quakes? What do you think? What do you think is really going on with the massive earthquakes? And God said that he would not only shake the heavens, but the earth too, and that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Is there a roar coming from deep within the planet? Is the earth about to vomit out the inhabitants? You know, the Bible tells us in Leviticus that the earth could not stomach the corruption of the creation and began to vomit out the inhabitants because of their evil practices. And you and I all know, we all know, that the wicked abominations that are being promoted in our land and being practiced in our land all over the globe and exported from right here in USA. I mean, you just know that God will not be mocked. You just know it. And I wanted to get this information out to you today. And I just want you to keep in mind that the potential for being dumbed down is very powerful right now. We are living in the Babylonian system of mind control, technology, mind conditioning. We are living at a time where it is so confusing. And why is it so confusing? Because confusion is the word Babylon. Okay, it's all this mixed ideology, mixed conceptual thinking. It's all a mixture in the bag, and everybody's kind of running around Babylon. But I want to get into Babylon a little bit more. It's a fascinating topic, and I want to spend a few minutes. But before I do, I've got to read this to somebody this morning, and I don't know why. But all weekend long, this has been in my spirit, and I can only imagine that someone is going to resonate with this. I'm going to just read a quick little story you probably heard and even sung the little song when you were a little bit younger about a man named Zacchaeus. You remember that? Well, in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, we're going to read where it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little stature." He was a little guy. "And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw, they all murmured, saying that Jesus was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up to a sycamore tree. You remember the song, right? What is this about? Is there someone out there today that maybe it's time to show the fruits of repentance? You know, it's one thing to say I believe in Jesus, but I notice in the parable a number of different things, or the story, not just a parable, the story, the real life story of a man named Zacchaeus, that Jesus, number one, the way he lived his life, he's walking down the way. This man, Zacchaeus, he wants to see Jesus. He gets in the sycamore tree, and when Jesus sees him, he says, I got to be in your house today. I love the way that Jesus just was flowing with the Holy Spirit. I love how Jesus lived his life and he was just able to move and be led by the Spirit of God, and things would come his way. And as they did, he would respond to them. And I love the repentance in Zacchaeus's heart. Lord, I know everybody's, you know, looking at you like you're with a terrible sinner. And he was a tax collector, for goodness sake. They hated tax collectors, probably like you and I do today. And yet this tax collector, this very rich tax collector, is saying, Lord, I'm going to give everything I have, half of all my goods. I'm going to give them to the poor. He must have had quite an encounter with the King of Glory, quite an encounter with Jesus. When is the last time we have been encountered by Jesus that it moved our heart to give forth the things that we have in our possession? But this rich man, willing to give half of his goods away and then to restore those he had taken from falsely, he was going to give fourfold. Is there anything in your life that you have taken by advantage over someone else? Have you falsified the balances? Have you cheated on your taxes? Have you done something that you shouldn't have done? Well, I'm telling you that an encounter with Jesus is going to create a desire for you to be just and to do justly. Amen? Have you been robbing the Lord in your tithes and your offerings? Have you been robbing him? An encounter with Jesus will begin to convict your heart that I need to give half of my goods back to the Lord, and I need to begin to repay fourfold what I've taken from the Lord. You see, a lot of people rob God, and they don't even know they've robbed God until they meet the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, this is all about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. No, it's about your heart. It's about the condition of the heart. And this parable is talking to someone today. A wee little man was Zacchaeus. And yet this wee little man, you know, a small of stature in the eyes of men in the physical world, became a great man of great stature when he encountered Jesus and was willing to do what was right. Have you been robbing God with your tithes and your offerings? Are you giving to the work of the kingdom of God? Are you giving to the Lord? Or are you holding back like Zacchaeus was? But it's time for you to climb into a sycamore tree and get a divine perspective Maybe you need to climb up and get a little higher so that you could see Jesus. And Jesus will see you and say, come, I need to be in your house today. Jesus didn't even go into that house to condemn that man. Jesus, who knows what kind of an encounter he had, what kind of a lunch he had with him that day. But all we know is Zacchaeus was so convicted in his heart, he just wanted to do something to make it right. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the day to get it right. Today is the day to get your financial books in order. Today is to get your life, heart experiences in order. Today is a day to get everything in order in your spirit, soul, and body, in your relationship, in your finances, in your walk with God. It is time to get it all in order. Now, again, that passage of Scripture was with me all weekend long. And I just felt this morning I needed to share that with somebody, that it is time for you to encounter Jesus so that you can get rid of the guilt, shame, and condemnation that's on your soul, because you know you have not been doing the right thing. You have not been honoring the Lord with your tithes, with your offerings, or you have taken from others in a deceitful way, and it's time to repay. This, ladies and gentlemen, is biblical salvation, where Jesus said that we must bring forth fruits of repentance. We can't just say we're sorry for the things we've done, but we've got to, with that sorrow, bring forth proof, evidence that our heart and mind is changing towards the Lord. So if you have not been honoring God with your tithes and your offerings, it is time to bring forth fruits of repentance. And I just want you to know, just in case you're interested, that this Omega Radio Network would be very happy to receive your fruits of repentance by receiving the offerings that you want to give back to the Lord, and maybe a really big, big, wonderful offering to this ministry would be considered by you. But only the Holy Spirit could put that in your heart to do that. Maybe God's saying you have been receiving, but you haven't been tithing. You haven't been giving the Lord your tithes. Maybe you don't even go to a church, but you feed off of this particular ministry, the Omega Radio Network, this Watchman program. Well, maybe it's time to begin to tithe into it, to sow into it. We need finances to continue to do what we do. So does everybody, right? But it's really not about that, because we survive either way. God has kept us for 28 years. He's always taken care of the needs. But boy, would it be awesome to see that individual out there produce the fruits of repentance to get right with God. And if we happen to be the recipient, that's really cool. That's awesome. But if not, that's okay too. God will continue to do what he's done for 28 years. And that is to provide a platform to preach the gospel, to talk about things that we believe are important. And we always talk about the most important thing, even more important than Babylon, the end times, is the condition of men's hearts and minds, the condition of our souls today. So I leave that with all of you today, and I believe it's from the Lord. I honestly, honestly do. But now what I want to do is go back to a conversation that we were having last week. I've been reading my Bible for 38 years. And along the way, I have encountered the deep desire to study Jeremiah 50 and 51, Isaiah chapter 13, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, Revelation chapter 14. You know, I love the study because I really want to understand it. I want to understand it. And I've come to a recent understanding that I'm attempting to relay and to bring forth to the body of Christ so that we can understand things. And one of the recent revelations or epiphanies that has come to my mind, when we read Isaiah 13, when we read Jeremiah 50 and 51, when we read Revelation 14, 17, and particularly Revelation chapter 18, these are all moments of the destruction of Babylon. And it goes all the way back to Genesis. And I think we've made this point very clear, that when you go back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11 and you get to the Tower of Babel, it is the spirit of Babylon. They were building a city and a tower, and God came down, confused their language, and they left off building. But since that time in Genesis, the spirit of Babylon has been wanting to erect that city and make a name and build a tower, whether it was the ziggurats, whether it was the pyramids of Egypt and the Pharaoh, the man of sin like Nimrod was. Babylon, the spirit of Babylon has never been diminished, has never been cast away. It's been in the earth from the beginning of that building of the tower under Nimrod, whose name means rebellion. And so I believe that we've seen the spirit of Babylon build Egypt, build Assyria, build actual Babylon, Iraq in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, build the Medo-Persian Empire, build the Grecian Empire, build the Roman Empire, and build the new world order today, and to realize that Babylon will come to its zenith of power in the last days is very critical to our thinking. But one of the things that we have not really, I've never heard it really talked about in a way that, you know, I could understand in my willingness to be a student and to learn. I want to bring it to your attention right now, okay? Here's what I'm learning and I want to share with you. Revelation 18 is all about the destruction of Babylon, right? And we all sit back and we go, Babylon is going to be destroyed in 1 hour, in 1 day. I mean, the merchants of the earth, we're going to read about it right now, we're going to stand off weeping and lamenting for the smoke of her torment and the burning of Babylon. And she's going to eventually, in Revelation 18, be thrown down and never exist again. The very spirit of Babylon is going to go into the lake of fire. I mean, there is an end of Babylon and the spirit of Babylon. And Revelation 18 is that, even though there have been many Babylonian empires built in times past and come to power and then destroyed. America could be Babylon today that will rise to power, be destroyed, but maybe not the last. I doubt it. I believe that we're living in the end times and that Babylon is not as much ready to be destroyed at this time as it is to come to global governance for the last time on this earth. What does that mean? What am I saying? Let's look at Babylon in Revelation 18 and understand that what we're going to see destroyed must first come to global power. And again, how do I get this out? You and I right now we're going to read it. We're going to witness the fact that everything that Revelation 18 Babylon is that is going to be destroyed exists right now in this world. The only thing that has not yet happened in this world, I'm talking about every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every bit of every part, every component of Babylon does exist on this earth right now. It just has not yet been put together. It's all in the box. Every part is there. Every component is there. Everything from spirit to religion to systems of governance, it's all here. It just hasn't been put together again. And what you and I need to understand is that before Babylon will be destroyed in Revelation 18, it has to come to power, and it will for 3.5 years be the dominant global system of economics, military power, you name it, every component, every system known to man, it must come to power. My point is, it's all here. The components are all here, as we're going to read in just a second. It's all here. It's now the impetuses that are going to create its coming together. The global new world order, the one world government, Babylon coming to power like never before. Why? Because in times past, we saw it over in Egypt, Assyria, different places at different times. But the Babylon of the end times is a global system, the global power of Babylon, right? That's what this is all about, and technology is advancing it. The United Nations, we know that through electronic connectedness, it's got to all get connected. And that's what the process has been for years now, connecting all the parts. And there are a few things that are going to help its connectedness And that's also in the book of Revelation. But here's the point. Let's read out of Revelation chapter 18, verse 11. It says this, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore." All right, so the first thing we want to do is look at Babylon. When it's destroyed, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. But understand this, in Revelation 13, you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. So before Babylon is destroyed in Revelation 18, 11, like we're reading, there is going to be business on planet Earth during the Great Tribulation. There are people going to be buying and selling the goods of Babylon. All right. Now, the merchants, those that do business with Babylon, are going to weep one day because they won't. Nobody's going to buy their stuff anymore. So what we know is that the last day is Babylon. The nations of the earth, the kings of the earth, will be doing business with her. And if you go back to verse 9, it says this, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." All right, so the kings of the earth who are doing business and they're living deliciously with her. So understand that during the Great Tribulation, it's not going to be the fire-burning destruction of Babylon. No, during the Great Tribulation, the nations of the earth, the kings of the earth, are going to be doing business with Babylon, and Babylon is going to be purchasing all of the goods. So we know that Babylon is a consumer nation, if you will, or the people of Babylon are the systems of Babylon. The merchants of the earth are doing business. They're getting rich. They're living deliciously. Now watch this in verse 12, and I hope I get this right. So here's the merchandise from all the merchants of the earth that were doing business with Babylon. In other words, the merchants of the earth, the kings of the earth, are selling all their goods to Babylon. And here's what this was their merchandise in verse 12. "The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, and all thyine wood, and the manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men." That was the merchandise. And so during the Babylonian reign in the last days globally, slaves are going to be on the market. The souls of men are going to be on the market. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, right now, is there not a sex trade trafficking reality going on in our world today? Are not young boys and young girls being sold? But I'm telling you, during the great 3.5 year tribulation, I believe Christians are going to be sold on the market. We saw it with the black slaves. We saw it with the slaves of the Jews. We saw it in different times with the Chinese slaves. And, you know, the selling of men's souls, the selling of men and women. I believe during the Babylonian reign, the 3.5 year great tribulation, when Babylon is riding the beast and they are in power for 3.5 years, all the other nations of the earth that receive the mark of the beast will be doing business with Babylon. But those who are caught are going to be sold. But again, all over the world, I believe there are Christians in every nation. And yet it says right here, they're going to be selling slaves. Slaves are the merchandise. The souls of men are the merchandise, along with all of the other wheat and the beast and the sheep and the horses and the cinnamon and the odors and the ointments and the frankincense, the wine, the oil, the flour, right? The fine linen, the purple, the silk, the scarlet, the thyine wood, all of the vessels of brass and iron and marble, gold and silver, precious stones. All of these things are in the marketplace. So my point is, we have to have an understanding that during the Great Tribulation, Babylon will be in power and there will be a whole worldwide system of trade And it goes on this way. Watch this. Verse 14. The fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from thee. This is in the destruction, right? But prior to the destruction, all the other stuff is mobile. And then it says, all the fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Now, during the destruction, that's true. Verse 15, the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. So the merchants of the earth, the kings of the earth, all the people of the world doing business with Babylon, they're going to weep for the torment and the fear of what they see when Babylon is destroyed. But during the Great Tribulation, during the zenith of power of Babylon, the world will be buying and selling. The only thing is, dear Christian, you and I will not be able to buy or sell within that system, because if we do, that means we've received the mark of the beast. And I believe that the mark is already here. And I believe that all the systems, all the components, everything connected to Babylon is already here. It's just about putting it together and plugging it in. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you today?
Well, listening to all this, I'm not sure, but I think I'm ready to go, because every day is another day to get it right.
Amen to that. Well, what we're talking about, Patricia, is Babylon in her zenith of power, the once and for all global dominion of Babylon, where we've never seen a global dominion of Babylon. We've always seen it in different places, at different times, in different nations. But here, at the end of time, we're told that this global Babylonian system will dominate the world. And we need to know, as Christians, at the time of its dominion, it is going to be a time where they're buying and selling and people are getting rich all over the world and they're having all the needs that they have. And I think sometimes we, as Christians, have thought that the Great Tribulation would be a time of poverty and destruction and bad things. It's not going to be that way. And we have to be careful not to get caught in Babylon, for it literally says, come out of her, my people, before her destruction, which means people of God are in it before she's destroyed in Revelation 18. And we need to be very careful of when God says to get out of this system, because it's going to come to a great power. And if your heart is desiring wealth and riches and buying and selling and business, you might get caught right in the trap. Your thoughts?
Well, I want to go back, and you're right, I want to go back to the beginning of why Babylon was called Babylon. And the reason for it was that the people thought in one way. And the Lord told his heavenly realm, we must go down and bring destruction so that the people would move out into the other parts of the world. Because when man thinks one way, when they're all in one mind and one agreement, this will give them power to accomplish anything they want to accomplish. Well, the word Babylon means confusion, as was already mentioned by Pastor Vincent. So what did our Lord do? He commanded that all the people that were of one mind, one thought, one heart, would be distributed throughout the world, and their language would be changed so that they could not think as one. And when man thinks as one and his heart is not redeemed but evil, nothing but the power of Satan is distributed through those individuals to build his kingdom, in which he so desired and wanted from the very beginning, before he deceived Eve. So what do we have today? Because there was a distribution of people all over the world, and the language was changed, and the beautiful customs came out from those different changed languages. Now, it has happened through AI, through technology, that we become one again, and the English language began to be taught all over the world, and now we are again perpetrating the concept and idea of one-mindedness. And Lucifer has grabbed the heart of those who have not been believers in truth to the Christian faith. And he is now making unredeemed men and women's hearts as one. And this is why there's confusion in the United States of America right now, because there is a majority of people that think in the Babylonian system manner, and they're becoming one. And then there is the heart of Christ in his church, and they are becoming one through the rubbing and through the conflict of what is right and what is wrong. Everything now is beginning to shake, not only in the nations, as what Pastor Vincent said, in the world, but in our nation and in the church, as far as individuals are concerned in their lives. Testing has come to what is true and what isn't true, what is evil, what is not evil. And the hearts of the one world Babylonian system is evil, was from the beginning, and it's beginning now again to become so.
Okay, so Patricia, with that being said, I want to clarify something that we've been talking about today. And the clarification is simply this. What I want to impart to our listeners, what I believe the Word of God is presenting to our hearts and minds for consideration, is that as we keep living moment by moment, day by day, and as we're walking into the future, so to speak, we know that right ahead of us and all around us, an empire is being built, a global one world government, and we are here. And every second that passes, all of these different components of the Babylonian one world government are being put together, which means that Babylon will have control of all the systems of the world. Now, listen, please, this is important. All the systems of the world will be under the control of Babylon, and nobody will be able to buy or sell or do business unless they have the mark of the beast, right? And we know that Babylon controls the beast. She rides the beast for a time. But there's one system that Babylon cannot control. It is the system of the kingdom of God. Remember, dear saints, and this is where our minds have to be. And we've got to separate our thinking in this to the genuine reality of this thought. When Israel came out of Egypt, they were brought into the wilderness, and there the systems of God went into full force. Water out of a rock, manna from heaven, supernatural defense. Their shoes never wore out. God was a fire by night and a cloud by day. God subdued their enemies. God was God. And the systems of the kingdom of God were able to sustain an entire nation in the wilderness without the help of any man. He was their healer when that serpent was wrapped around the pole and lifted up. The people that saw it were healed. He was their judicial system. He was their law. The kingdom of God, the systems of God, the supernatural reality of God in the midst of his people cannot be controlled by Satan. Now, that's important to me because my spirit and my senses are becoming very aware of the fact that there's a time right now around us that the voice of the Spirit of the Lord will say to the ecclesia, come out now, which means a getting rid of. You're laughing. Go ahead.
You're just so absolutely wound in this area of let's come out. And I know that's the heart of God right now. That is what the cry is. Even your throat rattles when you say it, because it is the cry of God's heart. Come out of her, my people.
Well, you're so funny. I'm sitting here preaching my heart out, and Patricia, she's smiling at me. She's so cute. All right, so here's the deal, Patricia. The systems of God will never fail, but with God's people, we have become so dependent, and we have become so used to living in the world system. We operate with all that they give us. They give us dollars, we use dollars. They give us electronics, we use their electronics. We as a human race, we as human beings have learned how to use whatever the world gives us. And now what's being ready to be distributed is going to be the mark of the beast. And the reason why I believe that mark is going to be given is because of the disasters that are going to happen along the way, whether they be false flag events, whether they be nuclear bombs. There's something before we get to the tribulation that cuts the population of this planet right in half. In fact, if we read from Revelation 6 to Revelation 13, which is where the tribulation begins, there are events that take out 3.5 billion people off this earth, which means Babylon is going to have a greater control over the nations of the earth. She's going to have her system. She's going to have the mark. The beast is going to have a mark. And the people that do business for those 3.5 years from all over the world are going to operate in that system. And we need to know when not to be in it anymore.
Well, you know, truthfully, we've all been puppets. As you have already mentioned, we all have taken on electricity. We all have taken on their water. Not that it belongs to them. It really belongs to God, but they have controlled it. There has been a system of control for quite some time now, by the turn of the century, actually, I would say for the last 100 years, where technology has stepped in. And the real, true Antichrist spirit is the spirit of technology and those who control it. And you know, honey, we don't see ourselves as puppets, but we have all been puppetized, if I can use that terminology. And one of these signs that many of God's people know about is the coming of Satan's man, a masterpiece, if you're a Christian, of satanic deception and power. We have already been deceived in being under his control in these various ways. And he is called the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition. But one of these things that has not received much attention is the prediction that this brazen enemy is being revealed. This brazen enemy of God is going to head up a confederation of 10 kingdoms whose headquarters will be on the banks of the Euphrates River, which is being done right now, where the ancient city of Babylon stood. But we have already been under his control. Now you can understand what come out of her really means.
You know, Patricia, you go to any store, any state, any city in the United States of America, and you will find every one of these merchandise items on the shelves. En masse. I mean, the things that we have on our shelves, which means the merchants of the earth are doing a lot of business. They're bringing a lot of goods. And it says here in, where am I at here? Okay, verse 17, Revelation 18, 17. For in 1 hour, so great riches. So remember, Babylon is going to have great riches, but in 1 hour, it will come to nothing. That's in the judgment of it. Every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off, cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? So here we have our seaports, and all the nations of the earth are doing business with Babylon by sea. It's called trade. They're bringing their merchandise from afar by ships. They bring all their merchandise into the ports of the great city of Babylon. Now, the city of Babylon is one thing, but the globalization of the Babylonian system is another. In other words, Babylon's systems are all over the world. In order to do business with her, you got to have her mark. You got to be part of her systems, right? But the headquarters, the city of Babylon, is another thing. So Again, right now, we should not be expecting that as we're marching towards the Great Tribulation, and by the time we get to the Great Tribulation, that it's going to be, you know, Mad Max. It's not going to be Mad Max. It is going to be the richest time ever, the most luxurious delicacies in the whole world, but perverse at the same time that they're going to be selling slaves. Slavery's coming back, most likely Christians, Jews, and others that would resist the system that don't have the mark of the beast, the souls of men, the occult things, all of the perversions you can imagine are going to be bought and sold and merchandise, and the world's going to get rich. It is not going to be.
I do have a question regarding that, though. The four horsemen, one of them is famine. How is that about to happen?
Well, they bring famine to the areas of resistance, and this is how things get broken down, and this is how all resistance is dealt with in order to bring about Babylon. See, I don't believe Babylon is in full force right now. All the components are here, but you notice that Donald J. Trump is fighting the United Nations, fighting the globalization of things, and wanting to make America. He's a nationalist. He wants his country. At least it appears that way. And so we may be in the throes of this final move of whether or not America survives, or will America fall to the Babylonian system that's already in it. It's here. We know, we saw the Babylonian laborers and Hillary Clinton, the Bushes, Barack Obamas. They're all globalists. So all the players are there, but something happened for a moment, maybe to give reprieve and open the eyes of the people of God, because God is ultimately in control. But all the things leading up, the wars, the everything, famine, pestilence, this is all the time of breaking all resistance so that Babylon can come to power once and for all, and with a limited population.
And would you say that this ruling system of darkness is doing this through technology? In other words, the grounds are getting dried up or overly watered, wet, where it's destroying crops. Is it being done through technology?
Well, absolutely. There are degrees of it, but it's also being done. Remember, mystery, Babylon rides a beast with seven heads and 10 horns. And again, a lot of our listeners believe that that beast is a technological beast. Others believe it is Islam. My personal understanding at the time, that the wild man, the beast of a man, the wild ass of a man, Ishmael, and his surviving tribes that are here today, that's scriptural, by the way, the wild man, the beast, is the one that's bringing about the brokenness in this whole world system so that a new world order can come to power, which has been in the works for a very long time. So will Ishmael be released? Will there be violent Islamic terrorism around the world? I happen to believe that's one of the ways, but also technologically.
So you do believe that it's being done by AI, artificial intelligence, technology is involved in all of this destruction that's coming about?
Not only the destruction, but artificial intelligence will be the mainstay of the great Babylonian system.
There you go.
People are going to get healed. There's going to be all these. And what's going to happen is science and engineers and the technocrats are going to take the glory for their invention on how to deal with Alzheimer's, how to deal with cancer, how to deal with all these different problems and in diseases. And they're going to say governments couldn't do it and the church didn't do it, because look at the condition of the world. So we, the globalists, the technocrats, the engineers and scientists, we have formed a system that is helping mankind. And that's why everybody's going to worship the beast.
And so they become God.
They become God.
They take
the
new place
age
of the Almighty. And we have said to the church in scripture, the Lord God Almighty, by the power of his love and the power of his ability, heals us of cancer, heals us of other sicknesses and diseases. But the church hasn't taken a hold of it, only in certain places, in certain areas of the world, but not altogether. So instead of moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, in which God Almighty is God for real, for truth, Technology now is going to take care of those areas in which our faith has been lacking in.
There you go. Now, Patricia, here's a mystery. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a mystery. You be the judge. Okay, I was just saying a little bit earlier that the only system that the devil will not be able to control, Babylon cannot control, is God's system. Now, how many of you remember in 2014 and in 2015, we had four consecutive blood red moons on feast days of Passover and Tabernacles? How many of you know that was called a tetrad? How many of you know following that we had a solar eclipse? How many of you know following that we had a constellation in the stars that had not been here forever, and it was the Revelation 12 constellation? You know and I know that God put the sun, moon, and stars for signs and seasons, for alerts and omens. And then when the sign shows up in the heavens, the people on earth should be able to recognize what the sign is saying. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, following the sign of the woman in travail, which was the constellation, look at verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness. Watch now. The same time the signs in the heavens are occurring, suddenly the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. In other words, 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. The woman is going into the wilderness where God has prepared a place for her. You say, well, how does God prepare a place? The wilderness that Israel went into was a prepared place of God. He was there. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Now, in the days of Noah, the way that God preserved his people in that generation, he had them build an ark. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think it's the wisdom of God for us to gather together and take our resources and build places in the wilderness as led by the Spirit of God to make ready for the time that we are going to have to go out of the world system into the wilderness where God has prepared a place? Revelation's telling us that God has prepared a place. And I have to believe all over the world that God has anointed people and raised up people to prepare places for God's people that are going to be outside of the system of Babylon. And God will have a system in the wilderness that will take care of them during the 3.5 year great global tribulation. That's where I believe we come in our ministry, because God put it in our hearts to prepare an ark, to get things ready. We don't really know how to get everything done, but we know we've done something, and maybe it's tied into a much larger plan that God has. But the mystery is the woman fled at the very time the signs in the heavens were there. We just saw those signs. Is it that close that the real, that remnant, that overcoming saints of God who keep the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus, no guile in their mouths, they are virgins in their heart, they are not defiled by anything, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, those saints of God that are leaving, that they're going into a place? Maybe this is a mystery that we need to understand the timing of these things. We've seen the sign in the heavens. It's connected to the woman fleeing into the wilderness where God has prepared a place for her. Your thoughts?
Yes, she's ready to flee. At least I hope I'm ready to flee. I hope every one of us that are listening to this program have made themselves ready for the times we're in. I heard the call, and I pray that they heard the call. And so history is now returning to its roots in Babylon and will resolve and revolve around a man and a super government and a city, and a real city of bricks and mortar with unimaginable wealth, as you were saying, a city controlling a system that will gratify every humanistic lust and greed, a city that harnesses the best science can produce, like you were saying, a city to pamper the senses and feed the pride of men, a city whose king will demand the absolute allegiance and soul of every citizen. It is this that has been prophesied in the Word of God, and we're seeing it revealed. My goodness, how important is the Word of God to understand and to know? Body of Christ, or those who are listening right now, there is no other place you can go to find out what the real truth of what's happening now is all about but the Bible.
Patricia, in the present world order of things, okay? In the present world order, we have three major sources of power or bases of power. One in London, representing the entire wealth of the nations of the earth. One in what is known as the Vatican, as the religion, the greatest religion in the world. And then Washington, D.C., the political military power. And these three major cities are in the present world order of things. And I'm just wondering, is as Babylon is forming all around, if there's not going to be a taking out of London, the Vatican, and Washington, D.C., and mystery Babylon will present herself. She will situate herself in a particular place in the new world order of things, where she will dominate the world from that city, from that base of power, and her system will go all over the world. So what I'm thinking is the present world order is about to be demolished for the new world order. And if that's so, then I would imagine that Islam, Ishmael, and the globalist and the technocrats, the engineers, the scientists, are designing their plan by the Luciferian mind to take out London, the Vatican, Washington, D.C., and to establish itself. Will that be in New York? I don't know. It's going to be somewhere. Is that possible, folks? We're coming down to just a couple of minutes left on the broadcast, and we've attempted to share some information about these things. And it sounds a little inconvenient, doesn't it? It's a little inconvenient to have to come out of her, my people. Because Babylon, the luxurious delicacies of Babylon that make everybody rich, are so wonderful. It's what everybody wants. And yet, can you imagine that we are right there, that the voice of the Spirit of God may actually be saying to those that have an ear to hear, come out of her now before you become a partaker of her sins and her plagues. There's a place prepared in the wilderness. What wilderness? Well, if we isolate everything to the Middle East and this is all Israeli-centric, well, nobody else in the world has to worry about going into the wilderness. Well, I would totally disagree, because the global world system of buying and selling is going to affect everybody on the planet, whoever remains. And the taking out of London, the Vatican, Washington, D.C., and the global world war, it's all designed for Babylon's rise to global dominance. Maybe there's a lot more to learn, and we're going to continue to study it out, but hopefully that what we've shared here today would be helpful. Patricia, another minute to go. Your final thoughts on today's broadcast.
My final thoughts is get your heart ready. You know, it's a reality that many of us aren't truly where we need to be. We're crying out, we're praying, we're seeking God, but we must do more than that. We must stop our foolish ways that are against the Word of God. If you really want to go through in this time we're in without devastation taking over your life to the point where you can go insane. In other words, many's loves will be taken away from their heart. They won't know love anymore. The offense will be so great. And it is happening in small manners already. Divided families and things to that effect. Are you ready for what's ready to come down? And my deepest concern is that the bride, who must get herself ready, has not yet done so. Come on, let's do it. Let's make ourselves ready.
All right, and this will be on Deliverance, the roundtable discussion on right after this broadcast. Get over to omegaradio.org. They're going to be talking about how one could do that. Remember Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows is all the wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famines. But what follows is the rise of that power after so many have been taken out. I'm Pastor Vince. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless you. Have a great day. Here we go. Deliverance, roundtable discussion right now on omegaradio.org.